Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. For he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Don't we have an awesome God, ladies and gentlemen? I'm glad you're here this morning. By the way, how many of you every once in a while get a little bit discouraged? Let's see your hand. Oh, my soul. Some of you lie a little bit, but the rest of us told the truth. I'm sure that we always, sometimes, at least in our lifetime, will get a little discouraged. So I have something I want to give you. Five things. You may want to jot these down before I teach the lesson. Five things you can do to overcome discouragement. Are you ready? Number one, recognize that God is with you and for you in all of the circumstances of your life. Let me give you an accompanying scripture. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me repeat that. Recognize that God is with you and for you in all the circumstances of your life. Number two, resolve to attend church regularly. Another passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but all the more as you see the day approaching. What day was the apostle talking about? The day of the return of our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the next great event on God's timetable, the return of the Lord and the rapture of the saints. It is more important to be in church this Sunday than it was last Sunday, because we're 1 week nearer the return of our Lord. There's a third thing. Discover God's will for your life and do it. It's not enough just to discover what God wants you to do as his will for your life, designed, prescribed, planned for you, but do it. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Discover God's will and do it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Number 4. I just have 40 of these, so hurry up and write. No, I'm just kidding. Number 4. Acknowledge the goodness of God in your life and praise Him for what He's already done. Can't you count some blessings this morning? Hasn't God been good to you? So then, acknowledge the goodness of God in your life and praise Him for the things He has already done. From Psalm 31 and verse 19, the psalmist wrote, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." That's Psalm 31 and verse 19. And then number 5, learn to wait patiently upon the Lord. Let me repeat that. Learn to wait patiently upon the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you incorporate these 5 principles in your life, you will no longer be the victim of discouragement. You will be the victor over discouragement. Please make a note of those. Get them on the, are they on the DVD, brethren? Do you make a DVD of this? CD, tape, wax? Nothing. Just get it from your neighbor. Oh, they've got it back there on record. Yes, sir. Thank you, brethren. Now then, our lesson today continues the series of the great men of the Bible. Our lesson today concerns the man Samuel, his early life, his birth, his early life, and his call to the ministry. We should note right up front that this man Samuel occupied 3 offices: prophet, priest, and judge. In fact, he's the only man on record in the scriptures who occupied all 3 of those offices: prophet, priest, and judge. Our lesson is based on 1 Samuel chapter 1, some selected verses from that chapter, and 1 Samuel chapter 3, some selected verses from that chapter. The memory verse you'll find in chapter 3 and verse number 20. We're going to look at the memory verse. We're going to look at some of those selected verses, and we'll do those things after we pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are this morning on this very last Sunday of a year that has come and gone so rapidly. Some have gone through some valleys of sorrow and tragedy during this year. And I pray that those who have come through the valleys would look back now from the mountaintop and thank you for those experiences. I read in the scripture that in all things we're to give thanks. And so we do thank you today for every day of 2008. And I pray that as the year ends and a new year begins, that we might be resolved to be dedicated Christians in every sense of the word. Bless now, I pray, the study in the Sunday school lesson this morning of this man Samuel, unusual to say the least, an unusual background with parents who were godly, who loved you, who honored you, who worshiped you. And to them you gave a son, and they called him Samuel because they asked him of thee. So I pray that we might see from his life things that will help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I pray these things in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now the memory verse, remember, is 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 20. Let me read that for you. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, that is from north to south, more than 200 miles, by the way, in mileage distance. All Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. They knew that a man of God was among them. Now this man Samuel was the son of Elkanah and Hannah, godly parents. I need not tell you that only godly parents can produce godly children. Don't you thank God for your godly heritage? If you were born and reared in a Christian home, you should be thankful today that God gave you Christian parents to teach you in the right way, to form your thinking, your set of values. Values that far supersede the values of this world system in which we live. So these two, Elkanah and Hannah, were godly parents, and to them was born a godly baby who became a godly man and was used of God in a mighty and marvelous way as a prophet, as a priest, and as a judge. This man Samuel ranks up there with Moses and Abraham among the great men of the Bible, one of the greatest men on record in the scripture. When Joshua died, there was a new era that began in government in Israel, the period of the judges. For some 300 years, judges ruled over Israel in a theocracy, which is a government by God. Theocracy, government by God. Samuel was the 13th and last of those judges. As God gave him the opportunity to be prophet, priest, and judge, it fell his responsibility or obligation, or maybe we should say opportunity in one sense of the word, to crown the first king of Israel. So when the theocracy ended with the last judge, Samuel, the 13th judge, after 300 years of God ruling Israel, the monarchy began with King Saul. Now there was one problem with anointing Saul as king. Samuel really didn't want to do it, but the people were persistent. Make us a king. Give us a king so we can be like the nations of earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we should not want to be like the nations of earth. Can I tell you that the judgment of Almighty God hangs heavily over the nations of this earth, this world system? We should not desire to be like this world. In fact, we are commanded, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my children, saith the Lord God Almighty. So they demanded a king. The king Saul was from the wrong tribe. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. If you go back to Genesis 49:10, and that's one of the most important verses in all the Bible, that verse tells us that the scepter, that is the seat of authority, the kingship, the rulership, shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, or Messiah comes. So the king had to be, in order to be the royal king, out of the tribe of Judah. Saul was out of the tribe of Benjamin. But they so demanded a king, and God warned Samuel, you tell them what this king's going to do. He's going to take your sons out of your home and put them in war. He's going to take your daughters out of your home and put them in the confectionaries and in the shops. But they went on and demanded a king. So Samuel, the last of the judges, the 13 judges, anointed Saul as king. And I think if you know the history of the books of history in the Bible, you know the rest of that story. But this man Samuel was presented to the Lord. You know why we have baby dedication around here? Because babies ought to be presented to the Lord. This boy Samuel was presented to the Lord when he was probably under 2 years of age. She did not take him up to worship until he had been weaned, which means he would have probably been under 2 years of age. Can I tell you, it is important, ladies and gentlemen, to train up children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. The wise man said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Plant in the child the value system of God, of the Bible, of truth, of righteousness, of holiness. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 at verse 15, a great compliment. Would you listen to this? And from a child, Paul says to Timothy, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now the Jewish boy, when he began to speak, as soon as he could talk, he was taught the Old Testament scriptures. And so there's a wonderful thing in realizing how important it is that children be taught the things of God. Oh, you say, but they're too young to learn. Don't kid yourself. Where have you been? I'll tell you, put one of them down in front of a computer, and they'll put us to shame, because they can not only turn them on, but they can use them. They can use the telephone, cameras, the whole thing. They can learn the scripture. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is through Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 24. I'll read that verse before I read some other verses. Verse number 24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him, now watch this, and brought him into the house of the Lord. She took him to church when he was very young. I love Sunday school, because I was taken to Sunday school the first time in my life when I was 3 weeks old. Now that's been 3,971 weeks ago. Now you can figure out how old I am. And I've been going to Sunday school ever since, and to church ever since. It's important to start them out the right way when they're young, in the nursery. It's a wonderful thing to see parents place an envelope. You said I wouldn't say anything about tithing. I cannot talk without talking about tithing and giving. To see a parent put an envelope in a baby's hand, and you say, well, that baby doesn't know anything. Don't kid yourself. They will pick up on that. And I could take you to homes today that I know in the nursery, the little babies, when they were just little babies, they were given envelopes, or they were given a dime, or they were given a penny to put in the offering. And today, they have grandchildren, and they're doing the same thing for them. I know it works, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen it work. She took him to the house of the Lord when he was very young. Would you go now with me to verse number 11? And she vowed a vow. Remember? And I don't have time to read the first 10 verses, but the first 10 verses will tell us that Hannah was childless. She was barren. God had shut up her womb. But verse 11 says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That was a part of the Nazarite vow. No strong drink, no razor upon the head. So she said, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. That was her promise, her pledge, her commitment to God. Well, verse 12 tells us, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. Notice, early in the morning, before they made their journey back home, they worshipped before the Lord. And they came to their house in Ramah. And the last part of verse 19 says, And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. What a success story that was. Here is a young child being born in answer to a mother's prayer and a mother's commitment and a mother's pledge and a mother's promise. Remember in verse 11, she promised God, If you will show mercy to me, if you will remember me, if you will give me that man child that my heart longs for, I will give him to thee all the days of his life. Ladies and gentlemen, a commitment to God is a lifetime commitment. This is not a short sprint that we're in. It's a marathon that we're running. The race that we're running is a marathon. And all the days of our lives, we should be dedicated and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what verse 24 said, when she had weaned him, she took him with her and brought him into the house of the Lord. He received right training early on in his life. God answered Hannah's prayer. Now watch this, and Hannah kept her promise. Can I repeat that? God answered Hannah's prayer, and Hannah kept her promise. And folks, we should be careful. The promises we make to God. Make the promise, but make sure you're going to keep that commitment. You're going to keep that promise. He was given to the Lord, as we saw in verse 28, on a lifetime basis, all the days of his life. He began to worship. As soon as he was presented to the Lord, he began to worship the Lord. So in chapter 1, the history of his parents, Hannah and Elkanah, godly parents. Hannah was barren. Hannah wanted a male child. She asked God to remember her affliction and give her a man child. And God answered her prayer, and she made good her promise and presented him to the Lord. Now, if you will, turn to chapter number 3. We've seen the birth and the early life of this man Samuel, the prophet, the priest, and the judge, the man who ranks right up there with Moses and Abraham in the history of Israel as one of the great men of the Bible, and the only man who held all three of those offices, prophet and priest and judge. Now, verse 1 of chapter 3 says, And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Now, watch it. He ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Eli was a priest. So he ministered to God in the presence of and under the supervision of Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days. And there was no open vision. There was not much being done anymore about God and God's word. So verse 2 says, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." And verse 3, to me this is one of the saddest expressions in all the Bible. "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." The lamp of God. Now, by the way, that lamp was never to go out. Israel had been commanded that that lamp was to burn always, 24/7, 365, every year. It was never to go out. But the lamp of the Lord had gone out in the temple of the Lord. Sad. That's where, look at the rest of part of that verse, where the ark of God was. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad thing to think that the lamp of God, the light of God's word, the candle of the Lord has burned low and in many cases has gone out in many churches across America. Sadly enough, the lamp of God has gone out. And the presence of God has been removed from many places. And God has written Ichabod, "The glory of the Lord hath departed," from many so-called churches in America and around the world. How sad that was. Verse 4 says that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, that is, Eli said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Now remember, God is in the process of calling him. He thought it was Eli the priest, but it was God calling. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." You know, when God calls, we ought to hear what God's saying. Now make no mistake about it, God's not going to come to you tonight in an angel, stand at the foot of your bed and call your name. I don't believe he's going to do that. Never. But from the word of God, by the Spirit of God, God speaks to us. God impresses us what to do, when to do, how to do. So when God speaks, we should shut out all other voices, the voices of popularity and fame, the voice of this world system. Shut the voices out and listen only to the voice of God. And if you're in tune with God, listen to me, folks. If you're on praying ground, as they used to say back in the old days, we don't know much about that anymore. You know, we have, "Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And I'm not against that child's prayer, but we need some adult praying. We need to get behind the veil and get the horns of the altar and learn to talk to God. If you're in touch with God, when God speaks, you'll recognize His voice. He'll speak to you from His Word by His Spirit, and you'll recognize Him. And you and I should answer, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Now, this is Samuel's call. It came in a time of apostasy. We read that the Word of God was precious at that time, or rare, and there was no open vision. And to add to the whole sorrowful thing, the lamp of God had gone out in the temple where the ark of God was. What does that ark represent? It represents the place where God met with man, the mercy seat. That's where the high priest went once a year beyond the veil and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat and made atonement for the sins of the people. The ark of God is the presence of God. That's where the ark was, in the temple, and the lamp of God had gone out in the temple. Now, does God just call a man and not give him a message? Absolutely not. Whom God calls, He equips. The man that God calls, He not only gives him the means and the method, but He gives him the message. And the message begins in verse 11 of chapter 3. Now remember, he's been born in an unusual circumstance. His mother was barren. His mother prayed. His mother promised God if he would give her a man child, she would give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. God answered her prayer. She kept her promise. Here's the young man waiting on the priest in the temple, Eli. And God called Samuel, and he thinks it's Eli calling him. He's just a child. He hasn't grown, hasn't developed and known the Lord in those days. But Eli made him understand. Go back and lay down, son, and if God calls you again, all you need to do is say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth thee." God spoke and he heard. And verse 11 says, "And the Lord said to Samuel." Now this is beginning the laying of the foundation of the message that Samuel is going to have to deliver to the priest and to the people of Israel. "And the Lord said to Samuel." Now, folks, this is not written anywhere else in the Scripture. Would you listen to this? "Behold," now this is God speaking, "behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." Wow. What kind of message was this going to be that would cause the ears of everybody who heard it to tingle? Verse 12 says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house." When I begin, now get this, "I will also make an end." God doesn't begin anything he doesn't end. He said, "When I begin what I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do to Eli and to the house of Israel, I'm not going to put a stop to it until it's all over. What I begin, I will also end." Verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth." He knows why I'm going to judge his house. Could I say as kindly as I know how to say it, when God comes around to judge us, we know why he's doing it. He knows why I'm going to judge his house. Now watch this. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth." Now here it is. "Because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." Wow. God is going to judge this father because when his sons made themselves vile, committing fornication, He did not restrain them. And God says, because he didn't restrain them, I'm going to judge them, and what I'm going to say is going to cause every person that hears it, their ears to tingle. And therefore, verse 14 says, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Harsh words. Now, that thing that had been done will last in that house forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Samuel was just a youngster. Eli was an old man. He was ready to die. His sons had sinned. He didn't restrain them. And now Samuel has to say to him, here's what God's going to do. Verse 16 says, then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Eli says, well, if that's the way it has to be, I recognize my own fault. I restrain not my sons. God has pronounced the judgment, and so be it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for your timeless word. We know sometimes the message is unpopular. The message causes the ears of those who hear it to tingle. But the message is from thee, and it must be delivered. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us counsel, give us guidance, give us direction. Give us the anointing of the Spirit to speak clearly, boldly, unapologetically, unreservedly, thy precious and powerful word. Now bless the service to follow through the music, through the message, through the offerings, through the invitation, through it all. May Christ and Christ alone have preeminence. In his name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen.